Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons.
On it.
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. And right now, you're going to pay for groceries. But you decide what groceries. Just keep in mind you're running out of dishwashing soap. But you decide if you're going to buy that soap. Just those dishes won't clean themselves, will they? Remember, with Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then, you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A utility company in Southern California says its equipment likely started the Hearst fire in Los Angeles County last month.
In a new state filing, Southern California Edison admits its equipment likely sparked what was called the Hearst fire, which burned about 800 acres in northern L.A. The filing saying SoCal Edison believes its equipment may have been linked to ignition of that fire, despite evidence showing the larger and deadly Eaton fire in Altadena started under SoCal Edison transmission lines. The company says there is no evidence its equipment was responsible for the Eaton fire, but it's still looking into whether an idle transmission line became energized and sparked the Eaton fire.
ABC's Alex Stone. A federal judge in Massachusetts temporarily blocked the Trump administration's buyout offer for federal workers until at least Monday. Employees were facing a midnight deadline to take that buyout or risk being fired. And heavy rain in Northern California now being blamed for two deaths in Sonoma County. This is ABC News. Farmers continuing to battle the outbreak of bird flu in their herds as egg costs remain on the rise. Here's ABC's Andrea Fujii.
Farmers are forced to slaughter millions of chickens a month. Some businesses are struggling to keep up with soaring egg prices. And some consumers now buying their own chickens. Thieves are now cashing in after about 100,000 organic eggs were stolen from a Pete and Jerry's trailer in Pennsylvania. Those eggs worth about $40,000. The company is now increasing their security and surveillance to prevent another egg heist.
U.S. unemployment claims rising by 11,000 last week. But the Labor Department says the job market remains healthy and there are still relatively few layoffs. Irv Gotti, the music producer who co-founded the Murder, Inc. record label, has died at the age of 54. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time. The next time you're out to dinner with friends, you can order the shrimp cocktail for the table. And maybe you'll realize it only comes with four shrimp after you've already given away three, but that one shrimp will be so good. And if you switch and save hundreds, you could get shrimp all the time. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For shrimp. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Robinhood Gold members can now enjoy the VIP treatment, receiving a 3% IRA match on annual retirement contributions. With Robinhood Gold, the perks of the high net worth are now available for any net worth. The new gold standard is here with Robinhood Gold. To receive a 3% boost on annual IRA contributions, sign up at Robinhood.com/gold.
Investing involves risk. 3% match requires Robinhood Gold $5 a month for 1 year from first match. Must keep funds in IRA for 5 years. Go to Robinhood.com/boost. Robinhood Financial LLC member SIPC. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ahlen. Governor Tony Evers says many school programs would suffer if the U.S. Department of Education is dissolved.
Taking away, say, special education money, money for libraries, money for schools, period, that's going to be devastating.
Reports indicate President Trump is drafting an executive order to eliminate the Department of Education in two phases, saying he wants his pick for Education Secretary, Linda McMahon, to work herself out of a job. The department was created by Congress in 1979 Its roles include funding for low-income communities and students with disabilities and managing federal financial aid and college student loan programs. It has no authority over what curriculum is taught in local schools. Hundreds rallied in Madison Wednesday to join a nationwide effort protesting the Trump administration and Elon Musk.
Protesters rallied at the Capitol before marching down State Street in Madison, a sign of growing unease over the unelected tech billionaire who heads President Trump's Department of Government Efficiency, tapping into federal databases, possibly gaining access to sensitive records of millions of Americans. At the Capitol, Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The state capitol was the site of this week's Wisconsin Legislative Black Caucus's kickoff celebration for Black History Month. Caucus Chair Milwaukee Senator Dora Blake says the time is now to work collectively and push for justice.
Whether we are fighting for justice, standing on the values that we stand on, investing and caring for our children and their education, or making sure that workers have rights and are paid a fair wage, the time is now to do the job.
The caucus has also reintroduced a resolution to honor Black History Month after similar efforts in recent years have failed to pass the Republican-run legislature. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A wind advisory is in effect until 6 o'clock tonight. They're cranking out of the west, sustained at 20 to 30 miles per hour, with gusts reaching 40 to 50, making it difficult to drive with power outages possible. It's also creating wind chills, making it feel 15 degrees cooler. Get the bathroom you've always wanted from BCI Bath & Shower. 1-800-329-4115. Right now, it's 20 degrees.
We are wrapping up coverage from CattleCon in San Antonio, and this afternoon we are talking all markets. And it was a tough day in the cattle complex with live and feeder cattle futures sharply lower. Lean hog futures fought back to a mixed close. Corn and soybeans turned mid-morning losses into slight gains, and wheat futures pushed solidly higher. From the Farm Journal broadcast headquarters, South Bend, Indiana, this is AgriTalk. Scott Varlick from Coima Coima Varlick Trading up in Sioux Center, Iowa, standing by and ready to go. We'll get to Scott right after we get some market commentary from Oliver Slope at Blue Line Futures. I'm your host, Chip Flory. I'm still broadcasting live from the trade show floor at CattleCon 25. And that's where Michelle Rook was yesterday, but she is back in her studio and she joins me right now. Good afternoon, Michelle. How things going?
Oh, going good. What, did Joe decide to finally go home? Or
yes. Yes. Okay. Joe decided that he has had enough fun. It's either that or, you know, he was talking about the weather, how much he enjoyed it so much.
Yeah.
He's probably just outside and I don't know, left me to do this
playing
on my
hooky
own.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep. No doubt. I trust that you made it home safe.
Yes, I did. I did. And just a little, not bad weather, a little light rain last night, freezing rain. But other than that, no, it was good.
Yeah, well, not bad weather is coming from a South Dakotan native right there.
That's right. Exactly. Oh, it was a cakewalk. It was a cakewalk.
There you go. It was not a cakewalk in the cattle comp.
No, and I'm glad you have my fellow Jackrabbit and buddy Scott Varlick on today to talk about the cattle market, and I want you to push him on if he thinks the top is in. So
the top is in. Can we get back and test those highs? That's the one that keeps coming up down here, and I'm like, what more do you want? We're not that far from it in the cash, but people want to get back up there and test those highs in the futures market. So I will push him on it. We'll find out what he says.
Yep. Well, a mostly higher day except for the cattle market. Do you want me to kick off with news here?
Let's get going.
Well, the U.S. dollar index traded sharply higher in early trade in limited buying and grain futures. The dollar erased those gains in the afternoon trade, which helped wheat futures to extend modest mid-morning gains. March saw Fed winter wheat futures open steady, spiked support at 570 before recovering to close sharply higher and above resistance at yesterday's high to complete an upside reversal. Export sales of wheat in the week ending January 30th totaled 439,000 metric tons and was in line with expectations. We closed March HRW wheat futures 15¾ cents higher at 607.5. March SRW up 15.5 cents, 587¾. March spring wheat futures closed at 628.5. Half up 10 cents. I think we also had some fun short covering today. I think they bought about 9,000 contracts in Chicago.
Okay, I was going to ask you, when you were doing Markets Now earlier, Michelle, what were they talking about in this wheat market? I mean, that's a heck of a move.
Yeah, I had Dave Chatterton on for Ag Day today in Markets Now, and he said he thought a lot of it was just money flow, fun short covering. Yep. So, funds are really short in that market. Very good. Export sales of corn in the week ending January 30th totaled 1.477 million metric tons. That was on the high end of trade expectations. Mexico topped the list of buyers that included Japan, South Korea, Guatemala, and Colombia. Traders note planting of the safrinha corn crop in Brazil off to a slow start, but there is time to get most of the crop planted before the end of the month. March corn futures opened steady and fell through support at 490 before recovering to close just above the opening range. March corn futures 2 cents higher at 495¼, and the July corn futures closing at 510¾, up 3¾ cents on the day.
Yeah, I don't want to make a big deal out of a 2 cent higher close in corn, but that recovery from those lower prices at mid-morning, it made me feel better about the rally potential in this corn market as we got into the close. So not a terrible close.
Okay. How much of it was just spillover from wheat, though?
Oh, yeah. Some of it. But, hey, when you're looking at the charts, it really doesn't matter what made the charts look better. It's just that they do.
Okay. Good point. Yeah. March soybean futures opened fractionally higher and fell to support at 1050 before recovering to close just above the opening range. Export sales of soybeans in the week ending January 30th, disappointing at only 388,000 metric tons. That was on the low end of expectations. China topped the list of buyers, though. Soybean meal export sales of nearly 531,000 metric tons were outstanding. I think that was a marketing year high. And bean oil sales were light but lined up with trade expectations. Early pressure was the result of general trade uncertainty and the drier forecast for central Brazil. The pullback in the dollar helped erase losses. March beans, 3.5 cents higher at 1060.5. May beans closed up 3.5 cents at 1075¾.
All right. Yeah. And that the product trade was having an influence on soybeans today as well. No question about that.
Absolutely. Cotton export sales, 189,000 running bales, 30% below the 4-week average, and March cotton was down a point today at 66.03. Meanwhile, over in the cattle, the cash market is weakening compared to last week, which triggered aggressive profit taking and sharply lower cattle futures today. We had some 206 in the south, down $2, 328 in the north. Now, choice graded box beef values were also lower this morning, contributing to the sell-off. Export sales for the week, very good, 25,000 metric tons. April live cattle, 452.5 lower at 196.77.5. March feeders were down 542.5 at 265.30. And we did have the lean hog futures today ending on the April up 20 cents at 91.75.
Excellent. Thank you, Michelle. Appreciate it. Let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. How you doing, Oliver?
Doing well, Chip. How about yourself?
Well, good. We've got Scott Varley coming in here to talk about what's going on in the cattle trade. So let's talk about what happened in the grain trade today. Just slightly higher in corn and soybeans, but dang, man, it was better than what we were looking at mid-morning, right?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. The recovery from the mid-morning trade was really encouraging, and to finish the session right at the high certainly sets the table for hopefully some follow-through to round out the week. I think a lot of that, as Michelle had mentioned, is probably on the back of the wheat markets finally getting its tail in gear here, which seems like it's been a long time coming, as it's been a huge laggard, especially when you look at the wheat and corn spread. It feels like wheat could potentially make some ground back on that one, and maybe even soybeans as well. The new crop contracts is really what's caught our eye in the corn and the soybean markets. Those continue to look very constructive as the money flow continues to trend to the upside. And I know a lot of people have been talking about fund positioning being rather large in the corn market, and it is, but I think this might be a different environment, and we've learned that in the livestock markets where, you know, a large fund position is not a good enough reason to step in front of a train.
Yeah. Yeah, give me a little bit on cattle here, Oliver, because holy smokes, man, what a washout we saw today.
A big washout. If anybody wants to do a brief history lesson, I'd pull up the January 2024 feeder cattle chart. Things can snowball with a rather large net long position, and the cattle market's quite a bit different than the grain markets when you get everybody on the same side of the boat. Once they go to exit it, it's not a whole lot of people willing to pick those up. So you've got some people tapping on the shoulders of the traders, the trend followers. You've got producers, you've got end users, and then you've got traders. And within the trading bucket, you've got trend followers. It's 60% of the traders out there. They get a tap on the shoulder and say, hey, get out. They don't care what the fundamentals do.
They don't care. That's exactly right. Oliver, good stuff. Good perspective. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Chip.
Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. We got Scott Barlett, KKV Trading, up next.
It can be challenging for U.S. farmers to make a profit in the grain markets. Reduce your risk exposure by purchasing professionally produced seed from authorized seed companies and seed dealers. The members of the Seed Innovation and Protection Alliance invest 15% of their sales into product research and development to help farmers like you maximize their crop performance every year. Bringing new seed innovations requires time, extensive research, and farmer partnership, the kind of commitments the seed companies of SEPA are investing in. Thank you for buying new seed and supporting U.S. seed innovation. To anonymously report a seed infringement, call 1-844-SEED-TIP.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Wake up, get ready, grab breakfast, go to work, grab lunch, come home, run to practice, run to the store, grab dinner, go to bed, and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Attention all egg producers. It's the 2025 Chippewa Valley Egg Conference, Thursday, February 20th from 9 to 3:30 at Florian Gardens, Eau Claire. This full-day event presented by Security Financial Bank features a keynote address by egg strategist Doug Johnson, breakout sessions on tax planning, dairy market updates, and more, plus a panel discussion on modern egg challenges and opportunities. Registration is $30 and includes lunch. Register by February 13th. Visit sfbank.com for registration information. SFB, member FDIC. I see.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance. Experienced loan advisors putting farmers first with farmland rates as low as 5.71%.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I am live down here at CattleCon 25 in San Antonio, Texas. Summary report at the end of the show today. But first, we got to talk about what is going on in these markets. Scott Varlake is with Coima Varlake Trading, Sioux Center, Iowa, and he joins us right now. Scott, how you doing, buddy?
Yep, I'm doing good. That's a tough question to ask a cattle feeder, cattle trader today, but ultimately good. Hope the same with you.
Yes, absolutely. It's going well, going well. Okay, buddy. You know, we're going to take a look at some of the bigger picture issues that are out there, but let's just start with the headlines that are right in front of us, and that's the sharply lower market that we had today. What did you see?
Yeah, spot on. I mean, we have all of these long-term, stories we're looking at, studying, and fundamentals to how we feel, but one day like this can really kind of change what you have to look at and what you're thinking, and it's a humbling business. Especially as of late, it's a market you put your money where your mouth is, and you're going to know, pretty quick whether you're on the right side or not. And today, the sharply lower trade, after yesterday's large up trade. So we're really yo-yoing back and forth here. And today, I guess the reasons we're looking at it, I don't think there's just one main one that says, hey, this is why we're down so hard today, but you have the news of some new strains of bird flu that's entering into some dairy cows that they've studied out west. So we're still looking at bird flu. That's something that's been a part of this market for a while now. So we're getting a little bit more used to it, immune to it. But it's new news. It's a new highlight. It's a new scare. So I just think that's one of the things that we throw in there. And especially yesterday, The Packers have started to advertise some of these kill cuts. Cash has gotten away from the Packer. Our supply is too tight. We've got leverage as producers, and I think it's their way to try to rein that back in. So when you start to hear this major and then another major both going to switch to some 32-hour weeks here, it's going to be dark a certain day, it just kind of starts to send shudders. Third, I think it's that open interest number as we see such a big increase in a day like yesterday, up 6,000 contracts in open interest. And you're kind of thinking that's an interesting, somebody took a big shot and only to see it heading lower, trap all of those guys today. Some of those guys probably got hooked in, realized maybe they were wrong, reversing out of position. So I think that's another part of the daily trade today.
Okay. All right. Okay, let's break it down to the cash market a little bit more here, because you take a look at what's going on in the box beef trade right now. There's definitely a turnaround in that market. Well, you know what? I shouldn't say it that way, Scott. I don't know. It's a setback at a minimum. It may not be a turnaround at this point, right?
I think you're right there. As we look at the boxes, they're at good prices. We've had good demand to fall back on for such a long time. It's been years of this great trade. Yeah. And up till recently, some of these retail prices really were comparative to year ago levels. So we really hadn't seen that big sticker shock out there in the public yet. And we might be just getting to that point now. There was a retailer that had a very large chunk of margin in this market. And now I think that's starting to have to shrink a little bit, That's the table that's been set. That's why the supply got so tight. There wasn't enough of the dollars making it down, and we're trading supply. I mean, when we were trading 90-cent fat cattle boxes at 450, we were told that we were trading cattle, not boxes. Well, it's almost kind of flipped a little bit here to where, we're trading cattle because they're tighter numbers. We're not necessarily, looking at the $2 lower on the boxes just because the numbers aren't there right now.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's one of the frustrating things about a market like this. The picking and choosing of what factors matter today that might be just exactly what the market is going to focus on from day to day, right?
Yeah, I think you're spot on, and it's you're not sure what matters, and you're going to have to become an expert real fast.
Yeah,
on what you need to know about. But we just know that we're playing with a lot of dollars here. We're at, you know, near record highs here. Usually those markets don't just steadily, you know, climb higher and kind of give you a little rounded top. I don't see any rounded tops probably happening in this market, I guess, as much as it can whip around in a day here. But yeah, that's what's making everybody scared and having to trade with emotions, and emotions can really get somebody in trouble in these kind of wild swings. So it's looking at your own hind end and wondering, okay, where's my risk level and what kind of protection do I have to have on, and might have to try to shut out some of that other noise and kind of come up with your own plan here a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, you were talking about what they might do on the kill weeks. And I'll admit, I've got some background noise happening here that I lost a little bit about what you said, but I want to talk about that just a little bit more. Are you thinking that, I shouldn't say it that way, is it possible that they could stop a Saturday kill?
I think in the short term that they can. You know, just, you know, it's time to do it right now, because we've got, you know, spring demand actually coming around the corner. And here we already are in February. We usually see some of those slower chain speeds and cooler cleanouts in January, but we really never saw that. That's when we saw those record cash prices happening. So I think that they're trying to pull back a little bit now while they can, to try to set themselves up for our, you know, what seasonally is mid-March. That's when you get your higher cash prices. So trying anything that they can. I think the Packers have been a little bit desperate. Like I said, I think it just got away from them a little bit, and they're trying to see if this can pull it in just a little bit and drag their feet. But the demand's going to end up being there. I think that they're going to want the cattle here coming up, and we know that you know, with the seasonal grilling season that will eventually be here, that we're going to have some new plants online. There's going to be a few new plants out there looking for cattle as well. So maybe their last chance to try to rein it in before, you know, some of that action starts to happen.
Yep. Okay. All right. Excellent. Let's go back to the cattle inventory report. What were the headlines there for you? What were the takeaways?
There's the big one that I'm looking at, and as an old cowboy, wondering what that cow herd size is, and knowing that we're in this tight part of the cattle cycle that's been just, you know, we've just been tighter numbers year over year, and that's been the theme. And I think there was that feeling like we finally reached the bottom, and we're starting to see this heifer retention happen, and thinking 101% for beef replacement heifers. That was the estimate coming into the report. And when you see that come in at 99, you just say, okay, we're 1% less, not 1% more, was kind of shocking to me.
Yeah.
That we're still in that. I mean, what happens when we do see hardcore heifer retention? We know what's happening in the sale barns with the feeder calves, but when you start holding off, if you start holding off 2 or 3% of your heifers back, things could be set up to still have that tighter number feel, and these feeder cattle are probably going to tell you the story, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think what this is telling us, and what that inventory report told us, is that the tightest supply of slaughter cattle available to packers is still ahead of us. It's not behind us.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the only downfall could be that we, you know, if those heifers are on feed, it's another summer of chewing through some more on feed numbers. And if those heifers are still in the feed yard, the last cattle on feed report did show we were, you know, 3% less on heifers. So I thought maybe that would show up in the cattle inventory report. But so that's a little bit conflicting there. Did we see just a real recent push? Possibly. Maybe it's just more of a happening right now. But there's still going to be quite a few heifers on feed, I think, to chew through here.
Yeah. I tell you what, we've kind of talked on the edges of this feeder market a little bit, but man, it is hotter than fish grease yet, isn't it?
It still is. And, and that's the driving factor. It really is. I mean, that's why my phone rings off the hook all day. And, you know, when I started texting that I was going to be on here, I get a text here. Second bidder on some 717s in Presho for $316.50. So just not seeing any pullback in the sale barns. There's still a mountain of optimism. You know, cattle buyers are telling me how tough their job is. And so I can relate to that. And when these markets are doing this, so it's been a struggle, but it's the optimism that's there. Feeder prices are still good. You know, there's a lot of reasons why, and we'll dive into that, I'm sure. But there's also a lot of guys sitting on quite a bit of feed, you know, looking to do something with.
Yep. All right. We are in the middle of a conversation with Scott Barlick from KKV Trading. You said it. I mean, we look at there's some different groups walking around down here at CattleCon. You've got cow-calf producers. You've got backgrounders. You've got finishers. And I tell you what, not everybody is feeling the same thing from this cattle market. We're going to talk about those differences next here on AgriTalk.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
Veterans, if you were impacted by a recent hurricane or natural disaster, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is here to help. To find 24/7 info about healthcare, housing, insurance, benefits payments, and more, call 1-800-MY-VA-411 or visit va.gov/resources/disaster-help. That's 1-800-MY-VA-411 or va.gov/resources/disaster-help. For emergencies, always dial 911.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com. Take a look at how the markets closed. March HRW wheat futures 15¾ cents higher at 607.5. March SRW up 15½ cents to 587¾. March corn futures 2 cents higher, 495¼. July corn closed at 510¾ up 3¼ cents. March beans 3½ cents higher at 1060½. July beans closed at 1090, up 3¼ cents. March cotton down 1 point to 66.03. April live cattle futures 452½ lower at 196.77½. March feeders down 542½ to 265.30. And April lean hog futures up 20 cents to 91.75.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit WisconsinSoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
What's in a name? Well, if it's OptiCare, you can expect optimum animal health, optimum performance, and optimum care for your livestock. OptiCare is a complete line of beef, swine, dairy, and specialty products, each designed to treat or prevent common animal health problems, enhance growth, and improve performance. OptiCare, their name says it all. See Jerry Bear and Sons of Arkansas for a complete line of OptiCare products, Hubbard Feeds Incorporated products, and the answers that work.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A wind advisory is in effect until 6 o'clock tonight. They're cranking out of the west, sustained at 20 to 30 miles per hour, with gusts reaching 40 to 50, making it difficult to drive with power outages possible. It's also creating wind chills, making it feel 15 degrees cooler. Get the bathroom you've always wanted from BCI Bath and Shower. 1-800-329-4115. Right now, it's 20 degrees.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
And welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us. I'm wrapping up my time down here in San Antonio at CattleCon 2025. But today I'm having a conversation with Scott Varlake up in Sioux Center, Iowa. He's with KKV Trading. Scott, you said something in the last segment that you just don't normally get an opportunity to make a statement like you said. But you said it's been years of great trade in this industry. Years. And I feel like there's still years in front of us, isn't there?
Yeah, I think that there is too. And it does feel like years. And it really has been. It's not like we're seeing this big shock in the store where we're the only thing that's priced higher. You've got a consumer that has a lot of prices higher in everything that they buy. And cattle are going to have to too. If we're going to sustain, you know, this supply of beef and keep it available, I think we're going to have to stay there. And I guess we look at an economy that still feels like it's in pretty good shape, in good hands. It's not something that's alarming us because there's some other outside factor saying demand is going to really change, unless it would be that unforeseen thing to where we get scared of something in the beef. But I do think I'm with you that we got some good years ahead and a consumer that wants high quality beef. And that's what they're after. They've proven it year in and year out that that's what they want.
Yeah.
You know, they want the primes, they want the upper choices.
Yep.
I mean, they're wanting the quality, and that's what they're getting and what we're providing.
Yeah, and willing to pay for it. Now, this was an interesting tidbit that I got from Lance Zimmerman at Rabobank. He's their senior cattle beef analyst there at Rabo. He said, I don't have the specific numbers in front of me, but here's the bottom line. Consumers are working fewer minutes to get a pound of beef now than what they did 5 years ago. I couldn't believe it when he told me that, Scott. You look at you said it, when you look at some of the other prices at the grocery store, yeah, they feel more expensive. But beef, I'm not exactly sure how it's doing it, but it feels like a good deal.
Yeah, that's where when you compare it to year ago levels, it kind of grounds you a little bit. You're like, okay, I thought we'd have been a bunch higher, but we're actually real comparative. So still looking good. Everything else is high as well. But I think it's just as of recent now, we're starting to see some of these prices have to move a little higher, and then we'll have to decide. But we know that beef has been higher priced than pork and chicken for pick a date, I guess, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're still proving that they're looking for beef and they still want that high quality. So, not surprising that it can hang on to some of these levels and still move forward.
Yep. Okay, it's a good market. It's going to be a good market for a while. Doesn't mean it's profitable for everybody. And we've been floating those profits around the industries. Packers were making money for a while. Now they're not. Then cattle feeders. Now it feels like the greatest profit potential in the industry is down at the cow-calf level, isn't it?
There is still, numbers that show we're still needing to pay this cow-calf guy, this cowboy to put in the effort to raise this cow and have a calf, because that's a lot of work. If we know it's a lot of labor, we know it's cost intensive, and interest rates are high. There's going to have to be a long-term carrot dangled there, or we're just going to be finding ourselves in the same tight number. So I still think we're going to have to pay the last of the major independent parts of this industry is the cow-calf man.
Yep.
You know, that's your mom and pop that's out there doing the hard work. If they start shutting down and not doing it, then we're going to be, hurting.
Yeah.
So I think that there's still quite a bit of optimism there for the cow-calf guy. We dug ourselves in quite a hole, and we're not going to be able to get out of it real quick. So I do like the long-term feel of this. Days like today are very frustrating when you get that sharply lower, because it can really make you nervous, and it, as it probably should, because there are risks out there. That's but right. Long-term, still feeling okay, yeah.
Yep. Okay. All right. We were talking about the feeder cattle market, right? Well, earlier, and when it comes to these cow calf guys, what's the Mexican border going to do to us?
That's going to be a nice test here to see kind of what happens. Okay, it drug on a little longer than was expected. So you've got, you know, probably the same number of head down there. It's not like they vanished, they are still there, but it should really help some of these really low southern placements that we've seen. Help them catch back up a little bit here. They're starting to get across. There's a lot. There's been a lot of confusion over that, how quickly they are coming. We do have some, you know, trade wars going on with Mexico. I guess we'll see if that affects it at all. But I even had a gentleman in South Dakota call me and said there was three loads of Mexican cattle, mixed sex, mixed weights, on the road heading north, wondering if he's interested. So we know that they're coming. And if these feeder prices stay high and we know they're coming, we're going to feel okay. But maybe just short term, we get a little blip here as the South can catch on and find some feeders, some supply. But as of now, we haven't really seen much of a break yet at all. But they're starting to come. We know they're going to come. You're just going to have that mixed weight. So they didn't vanish. They're still there. And they've been filling the holes that we've had in the last couple of years. So it's almost like we need them because the numbers aren't there. So still going to have to be pulling in from north, from south, just to try to keep us afloat, to keep that beef production number at a level that kind of works for us.
Yep. Okay. What about the seed stock guys? How they doing?
It looks pretty good so far. And I think if you have your sales coming up like we do, you're hoping it comes fast. You're ready. You want it over with because prices are good. You're really excited. There's the early sales that are happening, have some really good averages coming on. And I think that the quality genetics are still going to pay here. So I think that
Scott, we know more about the genetics in these animals at sale time than we have ever known before. We know what the performance of those cattle is going to be.
Yeah, we almost have too much data.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Excuse me. But yeah, it's they're pretty much DNA tested, and there's a long list of numbers there. So we sometimes we forget to even just look at the animal and see what he looks like. But there's plenty of data on it, and only gets better. It's pretty amazing what they can do with that technology. So as soon as I sat behind a desk, it feels like I got left in the dust with some of those numbers. So relying on family members to keep that going for sure, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. What other trade issues are you focused on right now?
Well, I'm really surprised that, you know, the uptrend that we've had has been very tremendous. And I think these last group of yearlings that you bought coming off of grass, you know, some of us said, I don't know if there's any way these cattle are going to make any money. You know, those break evens are so lofty, but lo and behold, we did, you know, saw the 210, the 212, and we were elated when we got some of those prices. So today, when we slipped down to 208, we're, you know, feeling down about it, but that's still a very good price, and we're going to do okay. We're still selling. We're still cleaning up. And I think that's been the big difference. These producers have had so much leverage. They've been able to sell cattle to several different packers and have different options. It's a feel like we didn't have for a long stretch in time from 2015 to 2021 to 22, it wasn't very fun selling cash cattle. Right now it has been. You can get them moved when you want. You have everybody looking at them. So it's got a much better feel to it that we have that independent northern trader able to get a cash market. So you hear us complaining a lot less about the cattle market. Just because we have that freedom right now, and it's been very enjoyable, I think we can still keep it up here for a while.
Yeah. Okay, we've got the cash market trading at a premium to the futures. That's been well documented, but you still got a you still got to do some risk management and cover your butt to the downside, don't you?
Yeah, I think we've bought more puts this year than I maybe ever have in my career. It's just it's too tough to outguess it. I mean, if you're going to be hedged, if you want some hedges on, it comes with the risk of margin calls, and you know what's coming. You've got to be fully prepared for it. I know your bankers understand it, so they're probably going to be behind you if you're laying off some risk. These are not markets to try to be a hero in. You can be a hero or a zero very fast. So just trying to make sure that I'm still here operating tomorrow is of the utmost importance.
Yeah, yeah. And there's lots of ways to complicate this thing, Scott, but I love what you said. You're doing it with puts. I mean, is that the way to do it?
It's almost a day-by-day kind of case because okay. You get a day like today. It's starting to make you scratch your head just a little bit. Suddenly those prices just balloon. But on days that it's up, it's okay to be looking at some of that. I mean, it used to be you'd try to spend a couple dollars on a put. That's as much as you wanted to. And then it turned into, well, I'm going to have to spend about $3 on a put. It might be $4 to just a little more just to get that floor under you. We got to get used to some of these higher prices. But that's been for giving me a lot of comfort and sleep at night. We've got about $4 more dollars down before we start testing some of these uptrend lines we've been on. And that's going to be a little bit telling here because we had three legs higher on the charts for the feeders. We go down and test this trend. Might give us a little direction here in the short term.
Gotcha. Gotcha. The test is coming. I don't think there's any question about it. Scott, you know what, man? I love having these conversations with you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Enjoy it always.
All right, that is Scott Varlick, KKV Trading. Okay, guys, when I come back, I'm going to have a few closing thoughts from CattleCon, and we'll take a look at the weather forecast next here on AgriTalk.
Are you worried about your taxes? Okay, so I'm talking to those of you out there that have not filed in a few years with the IRS or state. It's time to get worried, and here's why. The IRS is getting back from their own COVID lockdown, and they're hiring more enforcers, and they're going to come after people that owe taxes. So if you're a 1099 worker, and maybe you just plain forgot to file your taxes, you need to call the professionals right now at the Tax Helpline. They are experts at knowing the tax regulations. And their goal is to help you pay as little as possible. Call right now and get a 100% free tax evaluation. Remember, before the IRS knocks on your door, knock on our door. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, make this free call right now.
Call Taxes 321 now at 800-808-9443. 800-808-9443. That's 800-808-9443.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-883-3024. 800-883-3024. 800-883-3024. That's 800-883-3024.
Here. This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
This is Andrew McCray, host of The American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and AgDay's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
We don't make the news, we render it. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you're with us. I'm wrapping up my time down here in San Antonio at CattleCon. And big thank you to all of our sponsors and the guests that we had on. It was it's been an enlightening couple of days down here on the trade show floor. And I tell you what, there's a different vibe at this meeting. I've been to CattleCon before, not often, but I've been down here before, and it's always kind of interesting to get in with a bunch of cattlemen that are working in different segments of the industry. And, you know, it might be red hot for a cattle feeder one year, and the cow-calf guys might be suffering. The next time, it might be the cow-calf guy that's making the money and the feed yard guy that is maybe not making as much money. And that's kind of the case that we've got down here right now. So, but I tell you what, I've seen some analysts down here that have given, I think, what is some really good advice to the attendees down here. And that is to recognize the market that you're in. Understand that this is an historic time, that when you look at what is happening on the demand side of the market, we're changing economic rules. We're breaking what we thought is how consumers would respond. And there's a lot of moving parts to that. What exactly is driving consumer demand for beef right now? But we do know that it's better than a whole lot of people expected it was going to be, including me at this stage of the game. And it's that demand, that consumer demand, coupled with the continued tight supplies of feedlot cattle, that's keeping this market good. It's keeping it good. There was a Cattle Facts did their long-term outlook, and they're talking about, you know, it's going to be years before we can fix the supply side issues in this cattle trade. And we've been talking about that on the show here too. When we get analysts on, it will take years before all of a sudden we go, geez, you know what? It feels like we've got just a few too many cattle in this market. Now, that's true as long as the demand side of the market continues to stay as strong as what it has been. you take 2% of demand out of this beef market, whether it's coming out of the domestic side or the export side, and we're going to feel it. We will feel that. So we've got to remember, and we've talked about this on the show before too, there is a difference between beef demand and a difference between beef demand and cattle demand. What Scott was hinting at is that we might be starting to see some cutbacks in the cattle demand. I'm not saying that there's enough cattle out there to fill every hook and to keep the lines full. I'm not saying that. But at some point, the packer is going to say, listen, you know what? We're deep in the red right now. We need to do something different. And if they take those Saturday kills out, it's only speculation. It is only speculation. But you've all been here before. You know that at some point, the packer is going to do something to swing the leverage back in their favor. And, boy, I tell you what, you take Saturday kills out of the equation, and that might change things in a hurry. Walking around the trade show, just kind of taking a look at what's really got producers' attention. The genomic analysis, I think, is just absolutely incredible. It's fascinating to me. Being able to look at, like, you know, Scott said, Scott's a seed stock guy. He's got his bull sale coming up before too long. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are more interested in what the sheet of paper says than they're more interested in what the analysis says than what the animal looks like. That's interesting. I'm not saying that it's wrong. It's not how I did it when I was growing up because I didn't have the analysis available to me. Now, when I look at some of the analysis and how some of the decisions are being made right now, you know, you look at what has happened on the pork production side, where those animals, they may not be cookie cutters, but doggone it, they're pretty doggone close. Now, you cannot say that about about a hanging beef carcass. It's not a cookie cutter yet. They're different. But with this genomic analysis and selecting for very specific carcass traits, we might be looking and moving the genetics of the industry closer and closer to a cookie cutter kind of scenario on those beef carcasses. It'll be interesting. The beef on dairy genetics is really got people's attention. People are going to be looking very, very closely at what happens in southwest Nebraska at that black shirt feedlot. People are want to know. People want to know what the situation is there and how it's going to turn out. The opening of the Mexican border to cattle, that's obviously a big thing. The profit taking in futures, catching everybody's attention. Traceability issues, still an issue. The tariff talk is, of course, something that traders are going to, or that producers are going to continue to keep a very close eye on. It was, we had Dan Hallstrom from U.S. Meat Export Federation on the show yesterday, and we talked about how beef was looking at the second highest dollar value export year that we've had in 2024. That's expected to pull back some in 2025, but those exports are still very, very important to us. All right, let's take a quick look at this weather forecast. National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook for February 12th through the 16th. Man, oh man, the middle of the month. We are looking at below normal temperatures across a lot of the country and all of the Corn Belt. We are also looking at above normal precipitation across most of the country. You got to get all the way down to Florida before you get to near normal conditions there. And there's a spot in southwest Texas that's looking at below normal precipitation. But the entire Corn Belt is looking at below normal temperatures and above normal precipitation. The 8 to 14 day forecast, that is for February 14th through the 20th. It's got below normal temperatures and above normal precipitation as well. I hope you've enjoyed our coverage from San Antonio and CattleCon.
We're going to be back in the bunker tomorrow morning for the free-for-all. Wiesmeyer, Haney, Michelson, and me right here on AgriTalk.
When you're a grower, a land loan is more than money. It's the power to make your fields come alive, to make your farm prosper, to help your operation thrive. That's why FBN Finance gives you more. With experienced loan advisors, often farmers themselves, and great land loan rates shared daily. Don't just borrow money, borrow more at fbn.com/agritalk. Offered by FBN Finance and its lending partners. NMLS ID 1631119. Terms and restrictions apply.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Doug. Quickly, Moo. We don't have much time. This Liberty ad is already almost over. We only have a few precious seconds to remind people to customize their car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. Okay.
Well, I guess we had more time than I thought.
Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. ICE agents are ramping up raids in cities and communities across the country with immigration. President Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, in an interview.